This is Leafs Nation Postgame with Gord Stellick and Todd Halushko. Brought to you by your local GTA Acura retailers. Visit yours today. Talk about tonight's game until you're blue in the face. Leafs Nation Postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
He is a right-handed shot. Picks the puck up at center, weaves to the left side, now straight down the middle, slow stops, stick handling, scores through the five hole, and the Boston Bruins will win the game and sweep the two games back-to-back with the Maple Leafs.
Well, David Krejci, the shootout goal, the only shootout goal that happened, and that was it. The Boston Bruins 4-3 winners in a shootout over the Toronto Maple Leafs. Joe Bowen with the call. We welcome you to Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Gord Stellick, Todd Halushko, and we'll be keeping it going till midnight with all kinds of different things going on. We'll take phone calls. We'll hear from head coach Mike Babcock. We'll have many of the guests outside, many of the guys involved in tonight's game. And, of course, we first welcome the callers, 870-0590, star 590 on your cell phone network, 1-888-666-0590. Like we said, we got till midnight. We can take calls all night. So if you want to get in, give us a shout. But, Todd, you know, we looked at a talk about different periods.
Well, yeah, I'm waiting for you to tell me, like, how to work, Halushko. Good job with the jinxing.
Yeah, nice one about Tuukka Rask was really soft.
You know what? But for two beers, I got producer Brown and I got Gordon here. Just giving it to me and walking. But
tale of three games, really.
For two periods, he really struggled. And then, you know what? A true professional, a goaltender that's world class can find that game. And he found it in the third period. And it was Tuukka Rask's show in the third period and into overtime and the shootout. He was sensational.
Well, like I said, we'll have to be ready. So when we get Mike Babcock's press conference, we'll squeeze some calls in. Of course, talk about the game. 870-0590, star 590 on your cell phone network, 1-888-666-0590. Dale from Hamilton. Hey, Dale.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Good, man. Listen, I'm calling in. I'm going to kind of vent here.
Okay.
I'm a little bit upset with the way the coach has been treating Bozak. You know, I believe that, you know, like tonight, he got in a goal and assist. And when it comes to 3-on-3, he doesn't get any of that time. However, they keep sticking Kadri out there, and he keeps doing nothing. And, you know, the team has this this attitude that Kadri's going to be the centerpiece of this team in the future. But the guy's doing nothing. Like, and I really believe that, you know, this guy's putting effort forward only because, you know, it's a contract year for him, essentially. But besides that, I mean, he hit the post tonight, but I don't see nothing out of the guy. And Bozak seems to get no love. I'm going to hang up and listen to you guys. Thanks a lot.
Okay, Bozak was named the second star and did skate out. I give him credit. He was the lone Leaf star. So you're not alone in your knowledge of him. I'm certainly of the mind that the number one center position had to be upgraded from last year. And that includes Bozak or whomever, Kadri, whomever. It's got to be better than Bozak gave them last year. But saying that, Dale, I agree with his play so far. And I believe, listening to Mike Babcock, I think he does as well. I just think in the 3-on-3, guys like Michael Grabner were out there. Like, yeah. He picked a little bit different guys that way. So we'll have to check the ice time once we get the sheets about it. Bozak had a decent amount of ice time in the game, but okay, in the 3-on-3, there's a few little things, that little tweaks you do trying to get some more speed in that way. So you do shorten the bench, and maybe Bozak did get shortened then.
Well, you know, and they're also, you know, in practices, you're not 100% sure of the three guys that they're putting out. I mean, in practice, they may be working on it with specific three guys. And you know what? I got to agree with the call a little bit. Maybe Bozak isn't getting enough love on the 3-on-3. He is a creative guy. He's got great vision. But I'm equating it back to the fact that they're probably practicing in units of three groups of three in practice, and maybe Bozak isn't on there as much as he possibly should be. So I kind of agree with the caller.
Yeah, and Byron Fraze is doing the critical faceoffs, what Bozak used to do. He's been sent out and then skating off, so it probably costs Bozak some ice time that way. So interesting point you bring up, and we'll check with the stats in that way, and we'll talk a bit about it some more as things go. But I certainly, Tyler Bozak's a guy that had to be challenged based on last year, and Kadri does seem to be a bit of the coach's pet.
Sure, yes.
And for the very reason you said, Dale, because he is on that one-year contract. Bozak has 3 years left, so you know he's going to be around, and there's a lot of different options you can look at doing that way. Leo's in Waterloo. Hey, Leo.
Hey, you know, I was going to talk about something else, but anyway, let me just touch on what you mentioned about Kadri with the coach, and that is, what do you think about maybe Babs wants to give him some time to try to bring out the best or the better in him, because historically, look, when he first came on, he was doing pretty good, and there was a big slump. He got, I think he kind of got destroyed somewhat by coaching Ron Wilson in particular. But anyway, just to showcase him in terms of a sell later on down the road. Secondly, obviously, like, Bozak is great. And, again, the reason for having Nazem Kadri being playing in places where you'd figure Bozak would be is to showcase, because they want to get rid of him. For another thing, what I was calling about was it was a fun game tonight. It was kind of crazy at times. Excellent goaltending, and you can't take anything away from Reimer again. He stood on his head. He's doing really good. This is Reimer of years before, and this is what we're seeing from him. But I'm going to throw something at you. With regards to the shootout part, you know, like when you got forwards or whoever's taking a shot, there's like 5,000 different moves that they're doing, and, you know, they come up close to the goalie sometimes. Most of the time they try to deke them. Sometimes it's a slap shot from 10 feet away kind of thing. And what do you think about having a chaser at the blue line from the opposing team, in that when the forward or whoever it is is taking a shot, he grabs the puck at center ice, and once he crosses the blue line, there's a chaser after him, so that it's more like a breakaway kind of situation rather than this trying to deke and pass back and forth, left and right, and flip a flop. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, a lot of different things there, and the last idea is interesting and certainly is like those fun penalty shots they have in games where everyone lines up and then goes that way. But we'll leave that one for down the road. The other stuff, I don't know what he said. He goes talking about few different ones, but Reimer was certainly on his game.
Yeah.
And, you know, the shootout moves, you know, you're right about it in the sense when they slow it down so much. But to me, generally, that gives the goaltender an advantage, except Marchand was, Krejci was able to work it to his advantage. Yeah. I thought the shootout attempts, and I hate dissecting shootouts, but they all in all weren't very good on both sides.
Well, you know, they're not. You know who makes it not very good is a goaltender in the net makes a shot not good or bad. Tuukka Rask did a fantastic job of timing, coming back, and just taking away anything. I mean, it looked a couple times. I guess it was, I'm looking at the Parento and the Hall, and even all three of them, and the Lupo shots. He was in there, and he basically gave them something and took it away. So you got to give credit to the goaltender. Same thing at the far end for Bernier when he stopped Bergeron and Marchand. Krejci, he just outweighed him. That was just that is a very high skilled play where he just kept on hanging, waiting until his opening showed up. Then he hammered it five hole on Reimer to win it. But you know what? You can't lose sight of what type of game the Leafs actually played today. They outplayed Boston today. They deserved the win today. Maybe not in the first period, but they took over in the second and third period. And Toronto deserved better fate today. But so goes the shootout. That's what happens.
We'll take a break now because we don't want to miss Mike Babcock taking the podium. Keep the calls coming. 870-0590. Star 590 on your cell phone network. 1-888-666-0590. We'll be squeezing them in until midnight tonight with Gord Stellick, Todd Alushko. You're listening to Leafs Nation Postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
All right, guys.
Riley on the far side, gets it back again to Lupel and over to Bozak. Bozak to Lupel, closing in with a shot. Scores! Joffrey Lupel with six attackers on the ice, and it is 2-1.
That was the first Toronto Maple Leaf goal, Joffrey Lupel. Interesting goal, down 2-0. And I've seen it more and more, the puck control they keep when a delayed penalty happens. And this time, I think it's the second time they've got results this way. By the way, welcoming you back to Leafs Nation Postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers, Gord Stellick, Todd Alushko at Air Canada Centre, site of a 4-3 Boston Bruin shootout victory over the Toronto Maple Leafs. We'll continue to take your phone calls, 870-0590, star 590 on your cell phone network, 1-888-666-0590. Again, Todd, going back to that goal and really what got the Leafs back into it in the second period.
Well, we talked about it before. Nazem Kadri drawing all sorts of penalties this year, and he did the same thing on a delayed penalty. He went in the back of the net with Zdeno Chara. Chara took some exceptions at him. Kadri threw his head back, maybe, you know, a little bit extra stuff on Kadri's part. But, you know, the best.
He leads the league again in drawing
penalties.
He
does.
He's up there, yeah.
And, I mean, you saw later on the game, Kadri and Chara were going at it again. And, you know, and I don't know what Kadri's doing coming back at him.
But he drew another extra minor.
He did. But he was, you know, just looking at him. And Chara's like, you got to be kidding me right now. Don't cross-check me in the back because you're going to get it. But on that particular play, I mean, what made the play was, because they had six guys on the ice, it gave the defense an opportunity to jump in. Matt Hunwick goes in front of the net, and like I said earlier, he provides his best to Dana Chara, minus a foot. But he gets in front of the net, and Joffrey Lupo finds a shooting lane, gets a puck at net, goes through Hunwick's legs, and then ends up finding the back of the net on Rask. And, I mean, that's how they got all three of their goals. They created traffic in front of the net, started throwing at the puck, and then I go and jinx them by saying in the third period they got to do the same thing because Rask is struggling. Then all of a sudden this world-class goaltender comes back and basically slams the door shut on the Leafs' offense.
How about the 3-on-3 as well? You take a look at what went on there, and boy, did he ever. That last save he made on James Van Riemsdyk, that's one of those great emotional shots, too. JVR really paying tribute. I couldn't believe. Like, it was about 8 seconds left.
Yeah, no, that was a fantastic save. And again, that's, you know, that happens. And, you know, that was an unbelievable save by an unbelievable goalie, and JVR couldn't believe it. Yes, that would, and we're going to hear all about that tonight, I'm sure, on the post presser, talking about how Toronto deserved better fate, and they did. But again, you get to that 3-on-3, and that's, you know, we were talking about it. The excitement in the building, as soon as the final buzzer ended to end the regulation time, everyone got on the edge of their seats now because they knew it was going to be 3-on-3 hockey, and they knew they were going to see a number of chances like we did. And I don't care who you are as a hockey fan, if you don't find that overtime period exciting, there's something wrong with you, because that had as many chances in 5 minutes as basically the whole game has, and it's so much fun to watch.
Leafs Nation postgame, Gord Stelick, Todd Alusco. Okay, here's Coach Mike Babcock.
This morning about starts to games, and you weren't particularly impressed. How did you feel tonight?
Well, I thought we played good right from the start. So, you know, they got two goals there early. And, you know, in fairness to Rhymes, he's been carrying us. And I think we made a mistake on the first one, if I'm not mistaken, or maybe it was the second one. On Ronaldo's goal, we made a mistake on the other one. I mean, just went in. But I thought our team played hard, did a good job. I thought we had a lull after they got two, and we got ourselves regrouped and played hard. I mean, we had tons of chances. Neither goalie was having a career night early, and then both goalies played real well late.
Your penalty kill was not only effective, but inspirational in many ways after killing those two. That's seemed to be the signal for you guys to get back in the game.
Well, I don't know. It's been good, and it's been getting better. You know, I thought our power play had real good looks tonight, too, and yet we didn't get one on it. I would have loved to have seen us get one on that 4-on-3. I didn't think we were dangerous 4-on-3. I thought we were a real dangerous 5-on-4. So we'll have to fix that. But we had lots of good players tonight. The guys played hard. We had good energy.
Was matching Spalling with Bergeron to free Bergeron from Kadri? Like, how did you work those matchups?
Well, just I played. I think I played Naz against Bergeron one shift in the game, or, you know, maybe twice when he caught him. But other than that, that was basically what I did. Bozak did all right in a face-off circle against Bergeron, so I used him when it was in the offensive zone. I used Spalding in any other zone or phrase, and so that's what we did. We just made it harder for them to get a rhythm off their bench with having Bergeron go every time.
Why do you think Komarov's worked well with the Kadri line?
I don't know. Leo's been, you know, I don't know. He's been unbelievable. So he's dangerous every night. He plays hard every night. He finishes checks. He plays on offense. He plays on defense. He just plays. He's a good player.
What kind of things do you want to work on the next few days?
Well, we're going to do a little skating, and then we're going to get our 4-on-3 fixed, that's for sure. But we can get a lot better. You know, if you watch our game in Boston, it looked like we didn't know how to play in our own zone. And then when you watch our game tonight, we look like we knew how to play in our own zone. So, you know, what I had before the game and what I have now, I'll look at the game and we'll fix her up.
Mike, when you have a face-off in the other team's zone with 1.7 seconds left, do you ever consider pulling the goalie or
three? Yeah, even I could have done that for sure, even thought that, but I was too late on getting her straightened out. I was waiting for them to see how much time they were going to put on the clock. I was concerned, so I didn't do anything until I was late, but you could easily do that. I don't know if we lost the draw anyway, so it wouldn't have made any difference, but that's the way it goes.
Anything with Roman at this point, or do you have to wait till?
No, their x-rays were fine. See you guys.
That's it. The quick see you guys. See you guys. That's it. X-rays on Roman Pollock?
I think it was his foot. He took a slap shot.
Did he ever?
It hit his foot and it bounced all the way out of the zone. I'm like, oh my goodness, that might have done some damage. So I'm sure that's what they were x-raying.
Well, Mike Babcock, and again, it's Gord Stellick, Todd Alushko, Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Leafs Radio Network. And one of our callers earlier mentioned about Tyler Bozak. He got 20 minutes, 16 seconds of ice time. So he played a pretty decent amount. You heard Mike Babcock talk about how he tried to match things out there. He tried to keep the Bruins a little bit off kilter, a little bit as far as sliding Bergeron out there, tried to show them some different looks. So I think he explained that. Just also, you know, Peter Holland and Brad Boyes were minus threes. And not that they were singled out for, you know, goals that way. I mean, I think Peter Holland on the shorthanded goal, yep. It was a misplay in the offensive zone that ultimately led to that. But
that's where the plus minus, I hate it because it's so deceiving. Even the two goals, even the second one as well, the flip over when Dennis Seidenberg flipped it over and Ronaldo scored that goal. Those are ones that, as a forward, you're just like, you got to be kidding me. And I'm going to have it. And because we're talking about it, that's exactly what they worry about.
Just, you know, because
sometimes it doesn't tell the whole story.
But the point being is because aside from that Peter Holland misplay on that first goal, and really I thought Peter Holland played well.
So
he's going to end up with a minus three. Yep. But I really didn't notice who's on the ice for the other place. Like one was the Jake Gardner high stick knocking it down. One was an errant pass from one player. So you're right. Certainly passengers that way as far as unfortunately getting credited with a minus. And just Matt Bolesky was minus three for the Boston Bruins. Again, same thing, because the Leafs had a bit of an onslaught. One was on pulled that first goal when they pulled the goaltender with a delayed penalty call, and Joffrey Lupo put it in, and then the other ones as well.
Yeah, those are just – and a lot for Toronto especially, if you're a Boston Bruin and you're on minus, a lot of those goals, there's not a lot of mental breakdowns. That was just scrambles in front of that, just hard work by the Leafs crashing in and taking advantage of secondary scoring chances. The one thing I did like about Mike Babcock, what he said today, was about Leo Komarov. He is bang on. That guy is a tank on the ice right now, and all he does every single time he's on the ice is bring 150%. If this whole team was made of Leo Komarov, so like robots out there, that is the type of example that you want everyone to look at. I would take game tape of him, put it in the dressing room, say, boys, this is how I want every single guy to play, because he has been playing some unbelievable hockey for the Leafs this year.
No question about it. We'll talk about Leo Komarov and all the Toronto Maple Leafs when we come back with Chris Johnson right now. So we'll take one break, a 4-3 shootout victory for the Boston Bruins over the Toronto Maple Leafs. Leafs were down 3-1 at one point, or 2-0 and 3-1, so came back for deficits that way, down 2-0. Then we're down 3-2. Yep. Came back on two occasions to tie the game. So they get a valuable point at home, but it's a 4-3 shootout victory for the Boston Bruins. You're listening to Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers, Gord Stellick, Todd Alushko, on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and the Leafs Radio Network.
Blistering cold.
It's your postgame workout. You're listening to Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Back along for Bozak. Now behind the net. Parenteau out in front of the goal! And down! The puck is still free. They're banging at it. And somehow Rask, spread out, was able to stop Parenteau.
Well, Tuukka Rask, there we saw some of the action. Let's see, that's one of the 39 saves he made. The Toronto Maple Leafs outshoot the Boston Bruins 42 29. It's a 4-3 shootout victory for the Boston Bruins over the Toronto Maple Leafs. Gord Stelic, Todd Alushko, welcome you back to Leafs Nation postgame. Brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Chris Johnson from Sportsnet, sportsnet.ca, joining us. And we were saying it's kind of a tale of three different games. After the first period, it looked pretty grim for the Maple Leafs and turned out to be pretty entertaining, and they get a point.
They do, and you know, I thought that they had a lot of positives in that game, did the Leafs, especially those final two periods in overtime, and you know, really probably were a little unlucky to not get 2 points in that game, and it kind of underlined sometimes how frustrating a shootout can be, because it was a pretty frustrated group of guys, and you know, really, I think certainly, especially coming off Saturday's game in Boston, they you know, put up a much better fight against the Bruins, and had a lot of reason to hold their heads high after that game.
Chris, I don't know what you think. I was listening to Mike Babcock's presser, and he said that he thought that the Leafs had a pretty solid first period. I think his exact words were they played hard the first period. I kind of got the opposite. I thought that maybe they came out a little bit flat. They were being hemmed in their own zone, and they didn't really come out like they should at home on a back-to-back. What was your assessment of their first period today?
Well, certainly they were hurt by, you know, a couple of shaky goals, I thought, on James Reimer, especially the first one, and you know, that might have contributed to it, but I agree. I mean, I didn't find myself with that first intermission thinking that was a good way for the Leafs to get going, not just because of the score, but you're right, their effort. But in the second, they were able to start generating a lot more, and you know, I think most encouragingly for Toronto was they controlled the play really at even strength for good chunks of that game, and even got an even strength goal, which is something that they haven't been able to get much of this year. And you know, I thought that that was, you know, one of the real positives of that night, is that they bounced back from that, and it's kind of a quality we've seen from Leafs this season, is the ability to come back in games, and they've done it a number of times, and being able to erase that 2-0 deficit was good, because I agree with you, Todd. I didn't think the first was that strong. And as I mentioned, they were hurt by those goals on Reimer that really weren't up to the quality that we've seen from him in the last month here.
Now, we had a caller, Chris, and he was irked. He felt that Tyler Bozak's getting the short end of the stick from Mike Babcock. I don't really notice it as much. I mean, I know Babcock's big on Nazem Kadri being a project. What do you think it's been about Tyler Bozak's play? What do you think his relationship is like with the coach?
It seems pretty good to me now. I mean, clearly it's a different kind of role for Bozak. He's not on the number one line. He doesn't have Phil Kessel on his wing. And you know, while he still has good players, you know, I think he's being required to do a bit more of the offensive work himself. And to score a goal here tonight was good in that regard. But, you know, what he basically was centering what we would have considered the second power play unit, but they were getting thrown out there oftentimes first as things went. And, you know, I don't think it's a short end of the stick at all. I think what we've seen from Mike Babcock is really more commitment to spreading around the players that he has on his offensive lines. And he essentially has the Bozak line and the Kadri line he's relying on to score, and he doesn't seem to be favoring one too much over the other from my eyes. They're playing similar, you know, time, you know, both on the power play and at even strength. And, you know, right now they're when they're both contributing, I think that's clearly going to benefit the Leafs, because, you know, while they did get 3 goals tonight, scoring still, to me, remains an issue for this team, you know, most games they play.
Chris, you saw Leo Komarov play a couple of years. I mean, he went back to the KHL, came back again. Mike Babcock praised him again tonight, saying that he's one of the best players. I mean, what is it about Leo's game that has taken it to that next level? Because I agree 100% with Mike Babcock. This player has been the best and most consistent player for the Leafs all year long.
Let me ask you, do you think he was playing like this before he got hurt last year as well? Because he seemed to have a real real strong start that wasn't the same after he got injured.
He was good last year, but that might have been the best game, honestly, I've seen him play in the NHL.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've been covering the team the years he was here, and so I've seen most of the games he played. I mean, that was dominant, I thought. He was everywhere. He was agitating a bit. He was, you know, generating a lot of shots. His line with James Van Riemsdyk and Nazem Kadri had 15 shots on goal in that game between them. I mean, that's as good as it gets in the NHL. And you know, Leo Komarov is, he's really been, maybe other than Matt Hunwick, probably the biggest surprise for the Leafs. And, you know, obviously it was a known quantity to them, having played 2 previous seasons. But we've seen him used in a different manner here this year. He played over 20 minutes tonight. And to me, that's as good as it gets. He was on in overtime. He was killing penalties against the league's best power play, and then the Leafs were able to keep Boston from scoring with the man advantage. He chipped in with a goal. He drew a penalty in overtime. I really did think that was Komarov's best game. And where he seems to be thriving is being able to be the player maybe, you know, that goes and digs the puck out of the corner for two sort of more traditionally talented and skilled offensive players. He doesn't mind getting on the forecheck and using his body. And really defensively, I think we're seeing, I almost want to call him elite at this point, to be honest, with how good a job the Leafs do with him on the ice and controlling puck possession. I almost don't have enough words to say, you know, good about Leo, because I've been really surprised how well and how long he's fit in on that top line and not looked the least bit out of place.
Yeah, and certainly that was something I like the way that Mike Babcock basically took that question and just extolled the virtues of Leo, not about what line he was playing on, because that's certainly bang on. And again, we start dissecting ice time maybe a little bit too much, but Matt Hunwick, 19 minutes and 33 seconds. That's not shabby at all. It's just a little bit unusual that Dion Phaneuf did about 5.5 minutes more at 25 minutes, which usually Hunwick's been number one, followed by Phaneuf, but tonight, like Morgan Rielly had more ice time that way, and Jake Gardner did as well, and Phaneuf by quite a margin. So what was he trying to do a little bit different that saw Hunwick's ice time down a bit, do you think?
I think some of the penalty killing and power play situations might attribute to that. You know, Hunwick doesn't see any ice at all on the power play, and the Leafs ended up having 5 power plays today, of which Dion was on the ice a fair bit. And Morgan Rielly does play more than him, shorthanded, but I didn't see anything other than that in particular. I mean, obviously him and Morgan are paired together at even strength. So I think it might have just been one of those blips with the way the game played out. I didn't see at any moment where I thought he was, being held back or sheltered in a situation. I mean, he still played the hardest minutes of any Leafs defenseman this year consistently against the other team's best lines. And I do think it was a night just maybe the way it shook out with the special teams play contributed to that difference.
Chris, is JVR going to have nightmares tonight on that save that Rask made on him with 9 seconds left in overtime?
He should. I mean, that's about as animated as I can think of James getting when he misses a chance. I mean, that was a golden opportunity. I mean, there were so many tonight. Michael Grabner, I remember Kadri hitting the post with that backhander from in close. P.A. Parenteau had a great opportunity, fired sort of through the crease with the rolling puck and just missed. I mean, no, really, as I saw the game, it should have been at least win,
yeah,
just based on those opportunities. But Tukarask really picked up his game, especially, later in the game, and, made the difference. And obviously in the shootout, it's a bit of a coin flip. The Leafs have had some success there this year, but couldn't beat them and find themselves only getting the 1 point.
Well, we always appreciate your conversation and analysis. You should have heard our crack analysis. Second intermission, key for the third period, Todd Alushko said, was to pile on a shaky-looking Tuukka Rask.
Well, I mean, that's how it goes. I mean, I he certainly wasn't looking.
Would you not agree that he was shaky the first two periods? Or the second period especially?
Kicking out rebounds.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I jinxed the entire team after that by saying that. So I'm getting it from Gord up here. But, yeah, he's a world-class goaltender, and he turned it on, and he shut the door in Toronto in overtime.
That's the problem with in-game analysis, right? I mean, see the same game from
yeah, Gord's a genius all the time, and I'm just, I can't bring it.
Good point.
You guys are getting along right
where
that is.
Yeah, no, it was 3 different games. It was entertaining, exciting at the end. The crowd was there, so that's all you want. So thanks very much for joining us, Chris, as always. And, hopefully more exciting games, especially at home ice.
I think we'll see them. I mean, there is a different element to this team. I really believe that they're playing pretty well and on the whole, and certainly have the ability to come back if they dig a hole. And that's an improvement from where we were at the last half of last year.
Chris Johnson from Sportsnet, sportsnet.ca, joining us. The usual conversation, always great analysis. Chris up here, then going down and chatting with Mike Babcock and some of the players that way. And, I am kidding you about the 3. So to take a look, we'll take a look at the summary now for people that didn't hear.
Oh, we didn't say bye to him.
There's Chris. His phone is working well. First period of play. Okay. So you've got the 4:58 mark, always the killer, shorthanded goal. Brad Marchand, his 9th from Bergeron at 4:58, puts the Leafs behind the 8-ball.
Well, that was just hard work. Brad Marchand got down, went behind the net, created a turnover, passes it to Bergeron in front. He gets a good shot, and it goes up in the air. And it's one of those hand-eye coordinations by Marchand. He doesn't vacate the premises. He stays there. The puck goes up. No one can find it. He takes a baseball swing at it. almost a high stick, but he kept it below his shoulders, whacked it in, and just one of those bad breaks, but good hard hustle by Marchand to get the opportunity for Bergeron.
And the Toronto Maple Leafs trying to neutralize the big Boston Bruins lines. They're doing that, but unfortunately, Zach Rinaldo gets his first goal as a Boston Bruin. 12:39 mark from Seidenberg and Tuukka Rask. And again, it just showed an uncharacteristic brain cramp that the Leafs, like they did in the first goal, they do one in the second goal.
Yeah, and another situation, we talked about the first period that Boston, it wasn't that they were playing extremely well, it's that Toronto was giving them the opportunities. There was a puck side of the net, it was a loose puck battle, and the guys, Toronto could not find the puck. Dennis Seidenberg corrals the puck, skates up to about the hash marks of his own zone, and flips one off the glass and out, and Jake Gardner tries to wave at it with a stick, trying to knock it out of the air. It goes behind him. Zach Rinaldo picks the puck up, goes down the wing, and just takes what you think is an innocent shot in the hash marks, and it looked like maybe Dion Phaneuf kind of got his stick in there to maybe redirect the puck a little bit, but definitely a goal that I think if you asked James Reimer, he would say he would like to have that one back and thinks that he should have had that. But nonetheless, 2-0 Bruins.
2-0, end of the first period. Toronto did outshoot Boston 12-9, so you wondered, okay, Leafs had not scored against the Bruins in four periods going back to Saturday's game, and then all of a sudden, a little bit of a flurry, it starts. Joffrey Lupo at the 11:54 mark. Joffrey Lupo, his eighth from Bozak and Morgan Rielly.
Yeah, on a delayed penalty, everyone created traffic in front. Puck found its way to Lupo back close to the point. Matt Hunwick goes in front, does a great job of screening Rask. Lupo finds a lane, fires a puck through, and it gets through everybody, including Rask, to make the game 2-1.
Wasn't that long later, just a minute, 2 seconds later, Leo Komarov is seventh from James Van Riemsdyk, and Dion Phaneuf ties it up 2-2.
And this is another goal just by putting the puck on the net and crashing that, looking for secondary chances. Good traffic by Komarov. He gets rewarded for going to the dirty areas.
14:40 mark. Again, they come fast and furious. Now, Brad Marchand is second of the game, 10th of the year, from Landon, the newly acquired Landon Ferraro.
And this is the one where I believe it was Nick Spaulding was down in the defensive zone, and I didn't like this goal because I thought that he was kind of finessing a pass when he could have just zipped one hard, a direct pass up the wall. He tried to get a little bit cute, and the puck got knocked out of the air or got knocked down, and the puck got directed towards the net. Landon Ferraro pushed at it. It was a fluky goal because I thought Reimer's pad was tight against the post, which it was, but it kind of hit his pad and lifted up in the air and landed maybe an inch over the goal line in behind him. Boston goes up 3-2.
16:09 mark. Tyler Bozak is fourth of the year from Matthias and Parento.
And here's another situation. I mean, it becomes repetitive, but all that happened was they had a scoring opportunity off the wall. They take the puck. They shoot it towards the net. P.A. Parento throws it towards the net. Rask has a really tough time, and this is when I was saying he wasn't handling the puck well, especially on this particular shot. He kind of threw, waved at it, hits his glove, drops down, and again, guys are crashing the net, and Bozak's there to jump on it and put the rebound in to tie the game up at 3.
Now, those four goals, okay, 3 by the Leafs, 1 by the Boston Bruins, were scored in a span of 4 minutes and 15 seconds.
Fast and furious,
4 goals in 4 minutes, 15 seconds. There was no scoring in the third period. Let me get the shots on goal right here. So the second period shots on goal, Toronto outshot Boston 16-8. Third period, Toronto gets outshot 11-10. There's no scoring in the third period of play. And shots on goal in overtime, 4-1 for the Maple Leafs. Now, they did have a power play as well, as Mike Babcock mentioned. Wasn't happy about the 4-on-3 power play so much. Was happy with 5-on-4. But the 4-on-3, which should give you a chance to wire a lot more shots, just didn't work so well in overtime.
Yeah, it looked like there was like, I don't know if it was Toronto, a lack of execution, or if it was Boston that did such a good job to keep the shots out to the perimeter. Either way, Toronto's got to be able to penetrate and get a little bit closer to the net, into the scoring chances, in that, I like to call it the house just in front of the net, and get some more quality chances. But you know what? With that said, they had the golden opportunity. The puck was on JVR's stick. He basically had an open net, and Tuukka Rask just threw the glove out and stole a victory for the Bruins tonight.
And JVR, James Van Riemsdyk, 6 shots on goal, as did Leo Komarov. So they had 12 of the 42 shots. So that's a great output by those two guys showing some life. And like we said, JVR in the waning seconds.
Yep.
The waning seconds thought he had Tuukka Rask beat.
You know who I also thought played extremely well and battled Zdeno Chara down low in the Boston zone a number of times, especially in the third period, it really stood out for me, was Sean Matthias. I mean, he's a big body himself. There's nobody in the league that's as big as Zdeno Chara. But when he was going in one-on-one battles, there was a number of times tonight I'm like, oh, how's this going to end out? And he came out of the puck more times times than not when he went into the corner with Zdeno Chara. And I thought Sean Mathias's game was elevated again tonight, and he continues to get better every time that he's playing for the Toronto Maple Leafs. I really like this guy, and I think you're going to see more improvement every time he steps on the ice.
Well, that's encouraging. One of the signings, a local kid, and signed him in the offseason, a one-year contract. So, yeah, besides the bad Movember mustache, I think all in all I've liked his play to date. That is for sure. We'll take one more break, come back. You've got to pick your tip-top Taylor player of the game. We also have some guests coming up in the next little while. We'll hear from Mike Babcock. We heard from him. We'll play it again a little bit later on. And much, much more. Our producer, Matt Brown, is busy getting it all set. A 4-3 shootout victory for the Boston Bruins over the Toronto Maple Leafs. You're listening to Leafs Nation Postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers with Gord Stellick, Todd Alushko on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
Breaking down the game in a fanatic, obsessive, bordering on unhealthy manner. This is Leafs Nation Postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Quickly ahead, Van Riemsdyk. In on the wing, it goes left wing side. Stops, plays it back to Bozak to the point. Foot off a drive, right on. Rebounds. Oh, what a save by Rask. He saves the game. The rebound was right there to Van Riemsdyk. He shot it in his glove.
Well, that was the play I was talking about. We were talking about just in the waning seconds of the 3-on-3 overtime, and a glorious scoring opportunity and a fabulous save by Tuukka Rask off James Van Riemsdyk. Again, the Leafs outshoot Boston 42-29. But it's a 4-3 shootout victory for the Boston Bruins over the Toronto Maple Leafs. Gord Stellick, Todd Alushko welcoming you back to Leafs Nation. Postgame brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network. Who is going to be your tip-top Taylor tip-top Taylor player of the game? Brought to you by Tip Top Taylors, your menswear store.
Can you take a guess?
Leo Komarov.
You got that straight. He was unbelievable tonight. There's not a whole lot. I mean, if you're here to witness it or if you didn't see the game, you missed a dandy because he was a one-man show out there today. He did everything. He was crushing guys. He was making great plays. He was scoring goals. He did it all tonight, and he is a tip-top player of the day, and I don't think there'd be anybody disputing that today, especially if they saw the game.
And, you know, and it's from last year, the question was asked to Mike Babcock about the line, and then he just quickly extolled the virtues of Leo Komarov, because Leo Komarov was kind of the third-line guy last year. And he was getting goals. I mean, first half of the season, everybody was getting goals. Richard Ponick was getting goals. Your fourth line were getting goals. And then, of course, they all tapered off. We all know what happened then. But without Phil Kessel as well now, that line just got so comfortable and nobody could break into it. Joffrey Leupold seemed annoyed because he wanted a crack on that line. I mean, it was that line the previous year or nothing. And then last year, the line collectively had the worst plus minus of any line in the NHL. Yeah. And so all of a sudden this year, again, it's not bashing Phil Kessel. I just mean you take certain things out that were fixtures in a losing cause, you know, and it's not a reflection that it was his fault or not. But I always found that last year that there was a reluctance to break up that line. There was a sense their noses would get out of joint if you did break it up. And a guy like Joffrey Leupold, I think his nose was a little bit out of joint that he didn't get a chance to play with that line. So now you don't have to. You've got the line gone or split up, mm-hmm. and chances to do it that way.
Well, that's what happens too, Gord. I mean, I've played in a number of teams where all of a sudden there's been a culture change or something's happened in the lineup. You've lost a couple guys, and guys the next season get an opportunity to step into basically a bigger role than they've ever had before. Some guys embrace it, and some guys, you know, they freeze under the pressure and they can't handle it. Obviously, Leo Komarov has taken this, has thoroughly enjoyed playing on that top line right now, and he continues to contribute. I mean, that's the thing. It's one thing if you go out and you give a one good game here, one bad game there. He has just consistently gone out there and been a guy that has been so reliable for Mike Babcock, and he has basically embraced this, and he loves it, and he doesn't want to give this up right now the way he's playing. And the way he is playing, it's not going to be taken away from him because he has been that good.
Well, I'll tell you what. Why don't we put a listen, hear from Tyler Bozak, and then come back and we'll take one look at the out-of-town scoreboard before we head out, an idea of what's going on around the National Hockey League. And do want to remind our listeners, in about 10 minutes' time, we'll be breaking away from the network hour, and some of our affiliate stations will break away. Our flagship station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and many others will hang in there. And if you do lose us and you want to follow us, you can catch us on sportsnet590.ca. But right now, let me take a look at Tyler Bozak's stats. We had a caller, Dale, who was thinking he'd fallen in the doghouse of Mike Babcock.
And well, it was the overtime he was concerned about, yeah, more than anything, right?
And I can't well, let's see. I can't really find a difference in okay, end of period. So I can't we can't break it down quite on the overtime ice time. We'll try to do that later on. But Tyler Bozak, goal and assist. He was plus one, so 2 points plus one. Played 20 minutes 16 seconds. He was out for 25 faceoffs in all. He won 15, lost 10. So certainly was a significant part and was named the second star.
Yeah.
Didn't win the Tip Top Taylor Award from you, but that's okay. That's well, okay.
You know, he probably could have got that as well, but I just think Leo Komarov was such a dominant
player. With your guns.
Well, I am, and if you didn't have the game that Komarov had today, I don't think they win the game. I honestly don't. I think he was just that good. But you know, I'm not trying to be Switzerland and stand on the fence, but I think Tyler Bozak. I'm thinking about what the caller was saying about him not getting rewarded, and now I'm looking at the period, and we talked. We go, it's interesting because at the beginning of other overtime periods, he was going with the Spallings, he was going with the defensive guys, yeah, to start the period, and it looks like he's vacated from that now, which, you would think that Bozak would be part of that, but he wasn't to start the period. But I now I'm curious about this, to go look back to see the stats, to see how much ice time he actually did have in overtime. And maybe our producer, Matt Brown, can find that stat for us.
Oh, I trust Matt will. But let's hear from Tyler Bozak. Well, I don't know. Maybe he'll talk about the overtime, talk about being the second star. He came out, and which in a losing cause to do that. We mentioned fatherhood as well, being new
yep,
perspective for
Cannon,
him.
Cannon.
His son, Cannon. And here's Cannon's dad after the game, Tyler Bozak.
Once again, you didn't have everything go your way, but it seemed like that fight and belief in yourself still there.
Yeah, I mean, we battled hard. The goalie played a really good game and made some crucial saves. We thought we played pretty well, and we thought we gave it to him there in the second and third and had a lot of chances, so we were happy with our effort. It's unfortunate we were unable to get the 2 points.
How did you guys get the offense going in the second period?
I don't know. We just got, a few chances. We had six guys out there against five of theirs, which kind of started it. Leo was strong in front of the net, and then I just got a nice, lucky rebound. So we just had to go to the net. Boston does a really good job of, limiting the pretty plays. You got to get shots to the net and get rebounds and score some dirty goals.
Seemed like the bad blood's never quite far from the surface with these two teams.
Yeah, it's always fun to play them. They play hard, and, they finish their checks. There's a lot of scrums, and it's usually a good game, so I'm sure the fans enjoy it tonight.
Where was the biggest improvement, did you think, from Saturday as a team?
Obviously at home it's a little easier. You get to match lines a little better. We were playing a back-to-back when we played them. They were rested, and so it was, a little different this time around. We were obviously more comfortable at home and stuff like that, and matching lines.
Mike Babcock talked this morning about face-offs and as a particular area of concern. Seemed like you improved on that. Is that something that's notable about this team, that if you get an area where you talk about, you address it pretty quickly?
Yeah, I mean, I think we're doing all right as a group. They're one of the best teams in the league. Bergeron has been one of the best faceoff guys for as long as he's been in the league, so it's obviously tough when you go against him. He's going to, win 55-60% of the draws, so you got to really bear down. But I thought we did a better job at that tonight, and the wingers did a good job coming in and helping us with those 50-50 pucks.
How long did it take you to adjust without Phil, without James? Like, how long did it take you to adjust to new line mates?
They're both good hockey players, so it didn't take long. It's a little bit different of a line. Obviously, Maddie's a big, strong guy, gets in there and works hard and loves getting in on the forecheck. PA can make a ton of plays and score, so I mean, it didn't take long. It's a different dynamic. We're more of a grind line than a rush line now, but I'm enjoying playing with those two guys. They're doing a really good job.
So does that change what you do in the offensive zone a little bit?
Yeah, I think, they're... Maddie, like I said, he's always in there on the forecheck, so me and Pierre are lucky enough to play with him that we get a lot of loose pucks from that and are able to make plays and instead of getting in on the forecheck ourselves, so it's nice to have him. He does a ton of work out there for us.
Can you comment on your penalty killer's role tonight?
Yeah, I mean they've been doing a really good job for us. Fraze has been winning a ton of faceoffs, which is, you know, the most important thing on the penalty kill, and everyone's blocking shots, and then obviously Rhymes is doing a heck of a job back there for us, so our penalty kill's doing well.
After tonight's 4-3 shootout loss, the Boston Bruins beat the Toronto Maple Leafs, and he talked about faceoffs of Patrice Bergeron being one of the best in the game, but he was at 39% tonight. 114, lost 22, and you look on the Toronto Maple Leaf front, Bozak 115, lost 10, Kadri 111, lost 6, and then Byron Fraze 110, lost 5. So they were all in the 60% tile, and every coach values faceoffs, but it seems like Mike Babcock is just huge on it, all about the possession and everything else if you win the draw.
Well, that's what he talked about before the game as well, pre-game skate, talking about that's an area that they really need to improve on is in their faceoffs. He wasn't happy the last couple of games. I think they were clipping along at maybe 35 to 40% in their faceoffs the last couple of games. So he wanted to get that back. He always stresses that that's the easiest one-on-one battle to fix. And tonight they did a good job with that today. And they really, it was concentration. The wingers were coming in helping them out. It's not always about the center. It's about your wingers. And he made a point about complimenting Sean Mathias, the big body coming in helping him out. So again, a lot of pats on the backs for a lot of guys from teammates. And this is what you want to see out of a team. You want to see everyone getting along and everyone giving other people compliments, not always relying and saying it's about me. This is about a group, and they're doing it together.
And interesting, Matt Hunwick, we had a little quirky thing here. He takes a penalty with 2 minutes, 1 second left in regulation time. Mm-hmm. The play was obviously offside.
Absolutely.
The Bruins were way offside, and we're saying, wow, if they score, they're going to review this, and it won't count. So you wondered, and the Leafs were even asking the question.
Absolutely.
Because he took the penalty, but you can't review it based on that. You cannot review the offside to say we shouldn't get the penalty because the play should have been called offside 3-4 seconds earlier.
And you could see Mike Babcock specifically asking that, can I review the play? And you could see the ref's head going, no, you're not allowed to do that. But that is exactly the play. It's an interesting call to find out what would have happened. Had they scored that goal and then they see that it is an offside play, so the goal comes back, but it's a delayed penalty. Does the penalty still get called? Because it was a delayed penalty, like the goal gets canceled, would everything be canceled as soon as that offside play it happens? Because the penalty was actually called after the offside, if I'm making any sense right now. Really not, but I think you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I don't know what would have happened there. That's an interesting situation to find out what the rule is on that, if that was a situation where they scored the goal and there was a penalty. Does the penalty get negated? I don't know.
Well, we will come back, and we'll have interpretations of what Todd said there for people that want to come back. No, we'll chat more about
what
that.
Said.
More guests, and we'll hear from more of the Toronto Maple Leaf players as well. Really entertaining game. Come back for the Maple Leafs. They get a point. They do lose in a shootout 4-3 to the Boston Bruins. But after not scoring against them for four consecutive periods, it was nice to get some offense in the second period tonight. We'll be back with more of Leafs Nation postgame. Gord Stellick, Todd Olushko on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
Talk about tonight's game until you're blue in the face. Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
He is a right-handed shot. Picks the puck up at center, weaves to the left side, now straight down the middle, slow, stops, stick handling, scores through the five hole, and the Boston Bruins will win the game and sweep the two games back-to-back with the Maple Leafs.
David Krejci, that was the only shootout goal, and he scored it for the Boston Bruins, and that was the difference, a 4-3 shootout victory for the Boston Bruins over the Toronto Maple Leafs. We welcome you back to Leafs Nation postgame. Gord Stellick, Todd Olushko here at Air Canada Centre. Of course, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. We're going to get the out-of-town scoreboard going in a few minutes' time. A couple of quick stats from our buddy Steve Fellin and everybody at the stats department. You get the same ones, I guess, but it's interesting. 40-plus shots. The Leafs outshoot Boston 42-29. And just mentions games that the Leafs have had 40 or more shots on goal this season, 4. Last year in an 82-game season, games with 40-plus shots on goal all of last season, 4.
Yeah, that's
so
impressive.
Yeah, that's one impressive one. And the other one I asked him was about Well, by the way, he's got one about the Nashville Predators goalless drought. I mean, they're in a real drought that way. We'll talk about it on the out-of-town scoreboard there. And where is the other one he just got back to me about? Because the Leafs have not had a fight.
The San Jose streak?
Yeah, it's somewhere there in the San Jose. I asked, here we go. He's got about the fact about Mike Babcock teams don't fight. Over the past, okay, because the Leafs have not.
Oh, yeah, that's
major.
Interesting. There's been no fights this
that's
year.
Right. That's right. So over the past third, and Tampa has not had a fighting major either this year. So 20 of the 30 teams have. So I was just asking them what the record was, and, of course, they come up quickly. Over the past 30 years, the Detroit Red Wings hold all top five positions for longest streak without a fighting major. All those teams were coached by Mike Babcock.
Wow.
So Mike Babcock has the top five streaks. The longest was 55 games, mm-hmm. which was from January 11th to November 16th, 2014. So basically, they've been told not to fight.
Well, it is interesting. Like, I mean, a perfect example tonight is there's some scrums going on. You see Kadri and Chara going at it. Obviously, no one's going to jump in there. No one's going to fight. You're going to pull guys out. But there's no extra pops from these guys. Like, they get into the scrums. And that's how it always happens, right? Someone in front of the net. It seems like Toronto goes in, they get in there, they do what they have to do, and then they get out of there. There's no extra shots going on. And if there is, they're taking one to the helmet and they're walking away. And that's obviously something that Mike Babcock has stressed. You know, listen, take it for the team. Don't be a selfish player. Walk away from it. And, you know, because of that, they haven't had any fights this year. And It's not an awful thing because I think fighting is slowly being eliminated from the game, but it's just the discipline of how a team plays. You can look at minor hockey, and you always stress as coaches, you know, go in there, do not retaliate because they always catch the guy that's retaliating. Well, you start doing it here, gloves start flying, and you're going to start dropping them. Mike Babcock wants no part of that with this team this year.
But that's not something that's really been advertised about Mike Babcock. I'm kind of aware.
Well,
of it,
it's a personnel that you have too, right?
Well, I know, but we're saying I've hardly heard it discussed.
Yeah, no, it's a good stat.
He's about to be the sixth streak too. He's got the top five, and he may now have the top six in NHL history. Of a guy who coached a team.
You think he's aware
that goes without fighting majors?
Because we're saying, you know, that this is the way that he likes. Is it aware? Is it a coincidence? I think that he actually, this is the way he coaches. And I think it goes without saying that he doesn't have those types of players on his team for a reason. So it isn't coincidence. This is the way that he wants to go. Gord, I want to tell you one thing, and we'll get on to what you want to do. The JVR save that was made by Tuukka Rask today, how much does that remind you of the save that Tim Thomas made on Francois Beauchemin? Remember, it had to be about 5 years ago, and he had a slap shot, and Tim Thomas reaches out and saves that puck. That's what it reminded me of today, just because it was the Boston Bruins. Where is Tim Thomas, by the way?
Tim Thomas, he's not at the White House. I know that. I don't. You know, it's a.
He's kind of disappearing. Right?
There's a whole interesting story about a guy that I had not seen somebody handle it. I'd never seen an opposing player win a Stanley Cup in someone else's building and be as popular, like with the Vancouver crowd.
Oh yeah,
it
yeah.
was weird. And then unfortunately, the ugliness happened afterwards out on the streets. And then he played the next year, and we still talk about it. That game against the Washington Capitals. Joel Ward interfered with him.
Yep.
It was goalie interference, but he skated off with a big goofy grin on his face.
Oh, I know.
Didn't even really protest it, which also, if he might have protested, the referees might have reviewed it a bit more. So it was just really really kind of strange that way.
Producer Matt Brown tried to find it for us, and he's just fallen off the map.
Well, and it's like the Boston Bruins are – yeah, good riddance.
Yeah, see you later.
Well, you have Tuukka Rask as well.
Sure.
So you just do it that way. So we'll take a look at the out-of-town scoreboard. As far as what is going on tonight, Carolina. Boy, Philadelphia really needed a win. They get it tonight in overtime. 3-2 win in overtime. The Philadelphia Flyers against the Carolina Hurricanes. Shane Gostisbehere, he's got three goals now. You phonetically put it different here. We're talking
I'm
about.
I'm glad he gave you that name. That's a tough one. That's the toughest name in the NHL to pronounce.
He's a kid from the American U.S. Development League and that stuff. He's played well. scored 20. Yeah, went to Union College, didn't he? Old Ned Harkness's old stomping ground as far as that. That's a long time ago. Union College was a power years ago, and he's putting it back on the map. And great job with the Philadelphia Flyers. He scored 24 seconds into overtime on the power play. Claude Giroux also had a goal and assist. So the Flyers desperately needing a victory, and they get it. 3-2 over Carolina in OT.
Well, you know who would have liked a victory or maybe just even a goal would have been Nashville tonight. But the New York Rangers defeat the Nashville Predators 3-0. Henrik Lundqvist made 31 saves, and Rick Nash scored his fourth goal in his last two games. Nashville's goalless drought now stands at 213 minutes and 47 seconds, the seventh longest streak in the last 30 years. How's that for a streak? That's not one that you're going to be proud of, right? You want to bust that one up real quick.
Well, absolutely, and you wouldn't think. And, of course, Ryan Suter and the Minnesota Wild beat them 4-0 on the weekend.
Yep.
So dominated them that way, had a great game. Nashville not getting any offense. Their defensemen have been doing the scoring, too, and that's something they got to get their forwards going. Meanwhile, Washington Capitals, 1-0 win over the Edmonton Oilers. The Oilers will be here next Monday. And, you know, it's funny, I keep talking about them turning the corner, and they're not going to again. What if they get Austin Matthews? I mean, seriously.
I'll tell you.
So, Washington, Braden Holtby makes 33 saves. Dmitry Orlov scored the goal for the second straight game as they shut out. Washington shuts out the Edmonton Oilers 1-0.
And I saw his shot. That was an absolute rocket off the half wall. It was a fantastic goal. I like this one in Buffalo. The Blues defeated the Buffalo Sabres 2-1. Ex-Guelph Storm and ex-Canadian National Junior player Robbie Fabry scored with 6:34 left in the game to give the Blues a win. And I can tell you, I know that the GM, the coaches in Guelph, are very disappointed that he's not coming back to the Storm this year, because they could have used him this year to rebuild the future by moving him to another team to get a bunch of draft picks. That's how the OHL works, but they will not get a chance to do that this year.
I was out in where would it be, Kelowna, where Luke Shen played for the Kelowna Rockets.
Yep.
And it was like, I was out in some business thing, and it was like he never existed. They were so angry he was up with the Toronto Maple Leafs.
I know.
When you don't expect, like, sometimes you expect the guy to go, then when you don't know, what a blow it is.
But it hurts. Like, it hurts the organization because, for instance, Guelph right now, I think they've got two wins this year. They're dead last in the CHL, I believe. So if they had Robbie Fabry come back from St. Louis, he's obviously not going to stay there. They would have moved him, and a player like that is going to garner huge draft picks, and that can replenish your cupboards just like they try to do in the NHL. That's how you try to rebuild a team in Guelph, and unfortunately, he's not coming back, and it's going to be a tough job to get that team competitive and go off again.
Well, keeping it going, the LA Kings 3-1 winners over the Florida Panthers. Jonathan Quick made 30 saves. Tyler Toffoli, Alec Martinez, and Marian Gabrick are the goal scorers. LA 3, Florida 1.
And I believe, is that it, or is the last one?
Got one more, too.
Oh, I'm sorry, it's Colorado, right?
Yeah, Semyon Varlamov just came off the injured list, and Andrei Pavlik just went on it. So Varlamov comes off it for the Colorado Avalanche, and Winnipeg loses Pavlik to it. Varlamov, who 2 years ago, what a difference maker he was for the Avalanche. They need him to play more like he did 2 years ago. Made 21 saves in his return today. Carl Soderberg added 2 assists, and Colorado ended a 3-game losing streak with a 4-1 win over the Winnipeg Jets.
What's going on in Western Canada with Winnipeg and Calgary right now? It's just they seem to be falling on some tough times, and Winnipeg is a big surprise for me. Calgary probably a little bit bigger, but these are two teams that were expected to have, you know, breakout years and really contend out west, and they seem to be struggling immensely right now, and I don't know what's happening, especially in Calgary. Winnipeg as well, though, because they came off to such a good start. But, it's a little bit of a mystery out there right now.
Well, you throw Edmonton into the mix. I mean, they've been used to not making the playoffs, and it looks like they're not going to make it again. Now you throw Vancouver into the mix because, you know, they had one of those funny games last night that they lost 3-2. But they scored their second goal with 1 second left in the game. So way more flattering than it actually was to get that goal. So all of a sudden you got all these teams in Western Canada that are all looking at Travis Hamonic, apparently, that could finish out of the playoffs. I mean, they're all having their problems.
I spoke to a source last night about Travis Hamonic, and they were telling me that the thing that was going on in New York is it's – everything has been very cordial. Like, it hasn't been anyone that's been upset. I said, well, why would the agent leak it out? And I don't think it's one of those situations. I think it's maybe one of the other teams finds out something and wants to devalue what you can get for Travis. Obviously, it helps every general manager if you're thinking about getting this guy because he wants to leave and it's inevitable. But it was reinforced to me that if they don't get the right deal for Travis Hamonic, there's no certainty that he's leaving that team this year because he is that valuable to the team. A defenseman that plays 24, 25 minutes, they're not just going to give it away. It's still a business. And if they don't get the right deal, he's not going anywhere.
Well, especially during the season, because during the season, you know, I see this not happening until possibly in June. Mm-hmm. And I just think during the season you're playing anyway, right?
Yeah.
So whatever about moving home and that, you're practicing every day, you're traveling, you know, wherever the place is in Manitoba that you want to be close to, you really are not that flexible to get there. Yep. That easily. So I get the feeling, because the New York Islanders are just an interesting team, that they can challenge. I mean, they're legitimate challengers, more so than any other year about it, talent-wise. And the only thing is, it seems like more and more they've got everything on defense. I mean, everybody wants good defensemen, but they would be open, in my opinion, to, if it was the Edmonton Oilers, yeah, looking at some of that. If it's Nail Yakupov or somebody like that, like looking at some of that great young talent up front.
But they need
front.
A defenseman back. They're not going to, like, a number one guy like that, how difficult is that to replace if you get rid of that guy? They need some sort of top-end defenseman coming back in a trade. And, you know, it's tough, especially with the value. His contract is such a cap-friendly hit. And, I mean, this guy has turned out to be he's a minute eater. And if you lose a guy like that on New York, you know what? All of a sudden, that team starts to go downward spiral. As good as the rest of the players are on the team, you have to be solid on your back end. And it doesn't get any more solid than having Hamonic on your back end right now.
Well, we'll be talking all kinds of trades when we count down the trade deadline February 29th, including that with the Toronto Maple Leafs. And it'll be interesting if some of the better play of late makes some of the Leaf players who have term left on their contract attractive and possible trade options. I mean, then who are the guys that you want to keep as well? I mean, we talk about it. James Van Riemsdyk is so automatic because of his youth, and he had a couple of shifts there.
How good did he look in his speed a couple times?
Well, he's got that deceptive speed. The guy who had a deceptive speed that one shift was Matt Hunwick.
Hunwick, I know.
Holy mackerel.
Morgan Riley got beat by Brad Marchand, and Hunwick, and he had his guy. It was a 2-on-2, and he saw him go by Riley, and he recognized that real quick, and he made a tremendous play because if he not got on the horse to get him, Marchand would have made a nice, he would just cut, went right to the net, but he cut him off. But the speed it took to get to Marchand, we were both sitting like, and we were just like, are you kidding me? I didn't think he had that type of speed in the reserve banks. And I'll tell you what, wow, was it impressive. Like I'm starting to get the honey crush as well, just like Mike Babcock's got, because I'll tell you what, he has been impressive for these guys.
Absolutely. And we will come back after a update and break. And we'll hear from Mike Babcock, we'll hear from Tyler Bozak, we'll hear from Michael Grebner, James Reimer, and P.A. Parenteau in a talkative mood tonight. Boy, Michael Grebner, he's just got to put one in. Nazem Kadri was kind of deflecting it from everybody else, and Naz had a great opportunity. Again, he stuck his nose into everything, and I give Naz credit that way. But being snake bit, it's kind of been alleviated with him getting the goal last week. But Michael Grabner, they traded five guys for him. I mean, well, they a lot of it was to stock
contracts.
Their American League team. It was, but one of them was Matt Finn, right?
Second rounder,
and that's more indicative again of another second rounder that's not going to pan out for the Toronto Maple Leafs. Then anyway, we shall see how it goes. Was that Matt? He's finished. Okay. Okay, Matt Finn is finished as far as an NHL prospect goes, which is part of the change you want with the Toronto Maple Leaf scouting and all that. We'll come back and hear from all those. It's a 4-3 shootout victory for the Boston Bruins over the Toronto Maple Leafs. You're listening to Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers, Gord Stellick, Todd Alushko on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
The game is the meal. We're the after-dinner drinks. Pour yourself a cold one. Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Here's- Here's Van Riemsdyk working around back of the net for Toronto. Banks it back to the blue line. Gardner over to Dion Phaneuf. The one-timer went wide. Van Riemsdyk sends it to the net. Rebound in front. They score!
Uncle Leo Komarov, that's tying it up for the Toronto Maple Leafs. Joe Bowen with the call. Gord Stellick, Todd Hlushko, welcome you back. Some more Leafs Nation postgame brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Todd, we can sit back and listen to some of the principles involved in tonight's game and then chime in after. We heard him earlier on right after the game. Always good to hear from Toronto Maple Leaf head coach Mike Babcock. Here he is.
This morning about starts to games, and you weren't particularly impressed. How did you feel tonight?
Well, I thought we played good right from the start. So, you know, they got two goals there early. And, you know, in fairness to Rhymes, he's been carrying us. And I think we made a mistake on the first one, if I'm not mistaken, or maybe it was the second one. On Ronaldo's goal, we made a mistake on the other one. I mean, just went in. But I thought our team played hard. Did a good job. I thought we had a lull after they got two. And we got ourselves regrouped and played hard. I mean, we had tons of chances. Neither goalie was having a career night early, and then both goalies played real well late.
Your penalty kill was not only effective, but inspirational in many ways after killing those two. That seemed to be the signal for you guys to get back in the game.
Well, I don't know. It's been good, and it's been getting better. You know, I thought our power play had real good looks tonight, too, and yet we didn't get one on it. I would have loved to have seen us get one on that 4-on-3. I didn't think we were dangerous 4-on-3. I thought we were real dangerous 5-on-4. So we'll have to fix that. But we had lots of good players tonight. The guys played hard, had good energy.
Was matching Spalling with Bergeron to free Bergeron from Kadri? Like, how did you work those matchups?
Well, just I played, I think I played Naz against Bergeron one shift in the game. Or, you know, maybe twice when he caught him. But other than that, that was basically what I did. Bozak did all right in a face-off circle against Bergeron. So I used him when it was in the offensive zone. I used Spalding in any other zone or phrase. And so that's what we did. We just made it harder for them to get a rhythm off their bench with having Bergeron go every time.
Why do you think Komarov's worked well with the Kadri line?
I don't know. Leo's been, you know, I don't know. He's been unbelievable. So he's dangerous every night. He plays hard every night. He finishes checks. He plays on offense. He plays on defense. He just plays. He's a good player.
What kind of things do you want to work on the next few days?
Well, we're going to do a little skating, and then we're going to get our 4-on-3 fixed, that's for sure. But we can get a lot better. You know, if you watch our game in Boston, it looked like we didn't know how to play in our own zone. And then when you watch our game tonight, we look like we knew how to play in our own zone. So, you know, what I had before the game and what I have now, I'll look at the game and we'll fix her up.
Like, when you have a face-off in the other team's zone with 1.7 seconds left, do you ever consider pulling your goalie or
surveying? Yeah, even I could have done that for sure, even thought that, but I was too late on getting her straightened out. I was waiting for them to see how much time they were going to put on the clock. I was concerned, so I didn't do anything until I was late, but you could easily do that. I don't know if we lost the draw anyway, so it wouldn't have made any difference, but that's the way it goes.
Anything with Roman at this point, or do you have to wait till...
No, all their x-rays were fine.
Well, a little bit Roman Pollock at the end took a slap shot. X-rays are fine there. So that's Mike Babcock. We heard him earlier.
500th game for Roman tonight, eh? That's an impressive milestone for him tonight, and got rewarded with taking a big slapper right in the foot. But sure, would have the sting would have been taken out a little bit more had they had figured out a way to win the game tonight. But, you know, it was a shootout skills competition again. All in all, it was a solid game for the Leafs.
Michael Grabner's a guy we don't hear from very often. He's still snake-bitten, trying to, you know, get some offense going. Played 9 minutes, 29 seconds, but played a lot in the 3-on-3, using his speed in that. So played a decent amount in the 3-on-3 in overtime. Here he is, nothing on the stats-wise, but talking about tonight's game. Michael Grabner.
Kind of feel like you've ran over a cat or something, the luck you've had on the chance to play there?
Yeah, it's the way it goes sometimes. Just got to stick with it, and hopefully the first one will go in soon.
How frustrating has it been waiting for that, though?
It's obviously frustrating when you want to score goals and help out the team, but I think it's a little easier when we're playing some solid hockey as of late and winning some games, so that helps it a little bit.
difficult situation killing off that penalty late in the game there. What do you think has kind of changed with the penalty kill last month?
Well, I think we're just on the same page. We all know what we have to do, what our responsibilities are out there, and yeah, we're just getting in lanes, trying to give them the worst possible shot, and it's been working the last little while here.
Yeah. Well, can you take pride in that when the goals at least aren't coming at least here?
Yeah, exactly. Well, we've got to do something out there, help the team, and I think we had to keep a lot of strong games on the penalty kill, and that hasn't cost us any games, so that was good.
Saturday was a bit of a tighter checking game tonight, a little bit more wide open. What do you think was the biggest difference contributing to the difference in the style of play tonight?
I don't know. They scored a couple of goals in the first period, so we had to try to make a push, but I don't think we tried to make it open. We just tried to stick with it and get the pucks deep. And yeah, it's just the way it goes. Sometimes there's more chances than other games.
How did you guys maybe turn the tide a bit in the second period?
Yeah, like we said, we got a couple of goals early. They did, and we just wanted to stick with our game plan. And we worked hard tonight and battled back hard every time they came at us, and just got unfortunate at the end in the shootout.
Are you a superstitious guy? You change anything when you're going through a point route?
Yeah, usually change stuff. But like I said, if you don't get chances, it's a different story. I've been getting some chances as of late, so I'm gonna just try to stick with it and hopefully one goes in eventually.
What would you change, like stick tape or?
Yeah, maybe I'll try that. I don't know. I haven't changed much, but maybe put the sticks in the garbage or something, get an ugly goal.
Hey, Michael grabbed it there and obviously frustrated, but I'd say making light of it, keeping things in perspective.
Yeah, the same old thing as everyone else has been talking about. It's, you know, he's getting the chances, so he's praising what Mike Babcock always says. If you're getting the chances, that's a good thing. If you're not getting the chances, then there's an issue. Mind you, I'm sure that he would like to get a goal. What are we, 23 games in now? It's probably foreign territory for him right now.
Well, absolutely, and we'll hear one more. The Leafs did outshoot Boston 42-29. We talked about the play of Tuukka Rask was phenomenal in the third period. And like Mike Babcock said, both goaltenders seemed to come around at the end. And James Reimer wasn't as busy as other games, but helps him get a point once again. Here is the Toronto Maple Leaf goaltender James Reimer after tonight's game.
Yeah, no, I thought we played really good. It's just one of those games. I mean, you know, I thought we competed hard. We did the right things, and we did a few chances to win it. But you know, it just didn't work out at the end. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, obviously I'd like to be a little sharper. I think, you know, I made a few mistakes tonight, but you know, it's the way she goes. You're not going to be perfect every night, but yeah, it's one of those things where, you know, I wish I could have been a little sharper from the get-go.
You come in and pick you up your penalty killers, didn't you?
Yeah, they did a great job. I mean, you know, that's a really good power play over there, and I really thought we limited them. Blocked a lot of shots and just competed hard. I mean, a couple of the guys took a couple of zingers, and they kept on going. So, I mean, they're crazy, man. I got the gear, and they're the ones laying down the body. So, you know, it's you know, they're just sacrificing, and they're doing a heck of a job.
Seems they got you back in the game, and then saved it, obviously, the point at the end.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, we battled hard, and we got a point. We got a well-earned point. Obviously, you like to get two, but you know, whenever you can get points, you're happy, and you keep on building. I mean, you'll take every point you get.
James, what did you see on the last shootout attempt?
You know, I just bit. I mean, a shootout's a shootout. I mean, you know, I wish I could have been a little more patient, but he slowed up, made a couple good moves, and opened me up. So that's frustrating, obviously, as a goalie, but you know, you learn from it and get better.
Was it the first couple you were frustrated with tonight, or any of the three that kind of stood out?
Yeah, I don't know. I just didn't feel I was as sharp as I can be. You know, just one of those games where you just battle and you keep breaking the game down in small increments, and you just keep fighting through you know, every shot and every play. So you know, sometimes you feel great, sometimes you don't, and when you don't, you just find a way to try and make that next save so that you can you know, help the boys.
Well, James Reimer on a bit of a run, and I would think we'll see him Saturday against the Washington Capitals.
Oh, for sure.
The Leafs get about 4 days off now, so after the schedule being bunched up, and certainly Mike Babcock was unafraid to be vocal about it, they do get the break, so we'll see what he can work on. He mentioned working on 4-3 in practice, and then back at it Saturday against the Washington Capitals.
You know what I did like about James Reimer? you know, with how it happened today, he didn't feel that he had his strongest game, and they were down 2-0 in the first period. I love the fact that the team rallied around him tonight to battle back, to get them back into the game, and battle for James Reimer. He's been carrying him this whole time, and for the team to rally and come back actually twice from deficits is a huge character builder for not only the team, but, you know, James Reimer's in net, he's kind of like, you know, thanks, guys. Like, that's you know, obviously you're going to try to win the game. But for them to battle back for him and basically pay him back for all the hard work he's done to get him a point tonight and earn basically a tie tonight for the Leafs minus a shootout is pretty impressive. So you like to see the guys reward their goalie once in a while because the goalie has been rewarding them for a long time. The one other thing that we didn't touch on today, Gord, that basically saved the game, we didn't even talk about it, was Morgan Rielly when he came back with about 4:30 left in the period. James Reimer comes out and he poke checks Bergeron on a half breakaway, and it kind of pounces, goes over top of him, bounces in the air, and Rielly takes, it's either a hit or miss, and he swings at the puck and hits the shaft of his stick to keep the puck out. Had he not made that play, we wouldn't have been talking about overtime or any shootout.
Well, we're always talking. We'll be talking on Saturday as well. Hockey Nation beyond 5 p.m. We'll be down here once again for the Toronto Maple Leaf-Washington Capitals game. Final score tonight, a shootout win for the Boston Bruins, 4-3 over the Toronto Maple Leafs. You've been listening to Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Gord Stelnik, Todd Olushko on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.